What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, and this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And today we're going to be getting into more draft profiles. The draft is coming up, people. The first round of the 2019 NFL draft is on Thursday, April 25th. So we're on Monday right now. So we're going to have two more shows for you guys before the draft, really wrapping up the mid to later round picks and guys that we like and don't like, trying to find more guys that we do like, because it seems like we're really shredding these guys that a lot of people have going to the Chargers and mocks, especially in the second round. We're having a hard time finding second round caliber players that fit what the Chargers are trying to do. But on today's show, we're going to be talking about three guys and three totally different sides of the spectrum. We have first Titus Howard out of Alabama State, a converted quarterback to tight end to offensive tackle, playing for an FCS school, which is saying a lot about the fact that he's able to even get into this conversation playing at Alabama State. So we're going to talk about him, a really raw prospect in the first segment. And then we're going to move into a guy that's been mocked to the Chargers heavily in the second round, and that's Draymond Jones, the defensive tackle, if you could call him that, out of Ohio State. Really explosive pass rusher who has a lot to gain in the running game. So we'll get into him in the second segment. And then we'll finish things off with one of the guys I had a lot of fun watching, and that's Amani Hooker out of Iowa. Something about these Iowa DBs just really gets me going. Just love the way these guys play and love the physicality and football IQ that they bring. Obviously, we have Desmond King on the team, who's a testament to that himself. But let's start with Titus Howard. All right, so there's a lot to talk about with this guy because he obviously played at Alabama State, was not playing against the best competition. I mean, I was watching games from Jackson State. But there was a game against Auburn that I watched. I saw some people say that was his worst game. I actually thought he held up pretty well going up at the time against a 7th-ranked Auburn team. But, David, this is a really raw prospect. I've seen him going in the 3rd round in a lot of mocks. I think he's still too much of a developmental pick to take in the 3rd round. What did you think when you saw Titus Howard?
Definitely not the 3rd round. I would not be anywhere comfortable taking this guy. He's just really raw, as you mentioned. He does not have a lot of experience with the position. Still really learning how to play tackle. You know, he has a good wingspan. Uses his leverage well. Pretty decent lateral quickness. You know, he definitely always goes to the second level to try to block somebody. And he showed fairly well at the Senior Bowl. Some of the things that, you know, obviously people have some question marks about, obviously the level of opponents that he faced, you know, in the FCS, real small school, just, you know, not a lot of big time opponents to go against. So you just don't know really what he looks like up against, you know, higher caliber guys. He's definitely super raw. He needs to definitely do better, provide better angles, you know, when he's blocking. He's a decent pass protector. But he definitely lacks some situational awareness, and that just goes back to his inexperience at the position. He needs to learn how to play the position better. He needs to get coached up, and because of that, he's just too much of a reach for me. I don't think there's too much of a difference between what we have in right tackle right now and this particular right tackle here. So I'm not comfortable taking him in the 3rd, probably not even the 4th. Daniel, I think maybe the 5th round, but again, I'm kind of pass.
Yeah, I think the 5th round, especially if you're talking about a developmental type of tackle that needs some time to really develop in the NFL and go through off seasons and learn behind someone who plays the position well, which he would not be getting in Sam Tevy. Maybe he could pick up some notes from Russell Okung. But I think a 5th round pick is more what you'd be likely to spend on a guy if you don't know he's going to play in his first year. And I think that's part of the problem. To me, I saw some things that he did well in college that I don't necessarily think are going to hold up in the NFL. I think he had a lot of pass rush sets where he got guys with his length and was able to hold on to them without necessarily getting a good punch on them. I know, John, you said really what this guy needs is to just get in the weight room, and you can see that he doesn't have a lot of functional strength. I think he could get bullied a little bit in the NFL, but by letting defensive players get into his body at times, not with that explosive first punch, he can't really disrupt pass rushers. I did think he did a good job of kind of pushing players around the edge and not letting them get a straight line to the quarterback. I thought he did that well, but I do think the way he plays, especially with his first step, when he gets going, he moves really well, but sometimes he takes kind of a false step on his first kick slide. It kind of goes more lateral than getting depth in his pass set, and I think that could be an issue. John, I know that you were a little bit higher on him than me and David have kind of said so far. What did you see from him that you liked?
Well, I love his athleticism. His footwork is not as bad as what we've seen with these other guys we've looked over on the offensive line, which is a big process of step. If you got bad footwork, you're not going to make it in the NFL. So his footwork is better. Yeah, you're right with the kick slide. It is sometimes that false first step, but the rest of it with how fluidly he moves around it, it's a lot better than what I've seen. His lack of weight room is probably the only issue I really have, and that is something that you can easily fix on the off season now that you're not in college anymore and having to study and go take exams while also trying to fit in football practice and game film study and then trying to find a little bit of space in between that for your side job or whatever. Like, you got to really make it work in college. In the NFL, you have the off season and a lot of other opportunities to use the weight room. He can improve on that easily. His hand work can become faster, but that's an issue you can fix in training camp or even in early practices before training camp even starts. There's a lot of opportunity for him to fix those problems before even the regular season. So I'm a lot higher on him just because of the other guys I've seen. I don't have a lot of faith in these other guys. Like, the Chargers are supposed to be getting Caleb McGarry, according to a lot of these other guys. I'm just like, this guy's horrible. Why, how are you going to put this guy in the first round? I don't even think he's a seventh round pick. He's horrible. So the fact that they think he could go, and then I see Titus Howard, I'm like, I'd rather have him in the third round than McGarry in even the first seven rounds.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me started on Caleb McGarry. I think there's a reason that we haven't covered him, and it's because he's not a good football player in my mind. But I think the upside with Titus Howard is great. I mean, he is still a guy who's developing. But, John, I think one part of that I have a problem with is just how much confidence do you have in this coaching staff to get him where he needs to be as far as that hand placement, as far as the footwork goes. I know he can – you don't really have to have contact practice to work on those things. Those are things you can work on all the time. But how confident are you that the Chargers could get him to a place that he could play some this season? And do you think that the pick is worth it if he's not going to be someone that can push Sam Tevy for the starting off right tackle position?
It really depends on what else is there. Because as we talked about before, Wade, there's not a lot of good guys in the second round. If you're willing to take a guy that has the talent and just needs the weight room, and you have to rely on coaches and maybe other veteran tackles to take him, then I would have confidence in the pick in that case. But if there's somebody else that's worth it, I would rather take that somebody else. But as I've said, this, between the second round, even the third round, the only guy I've seen in the third round that I'd really be wanting to take really hard is a guy we're going to talk about later in Amani Hooker. But other than that, I mean, there's a couple of wide receivers in the second round that I don't think the Chargers will go for, like maybe J.J. Asarga-Whiteside. But it's really rough because we need a tackle, and if we're not going to get Dalton Risner or Cody Ford, there's no way those guys are going to fall to us.
Yeah, I hope they do. I really hope they do. I mean, especially Cody Ford. I mean, he's grown on me a lot, but I think that's important to talk about when we're discussing offensive tackles, is it's not just us discussing, you know, if these guys can play in the league and how good we think they're going to be. It's comparing them to the other guys that the Chargers have available to them at that pick. I think even more now than ever, after watching more of these tackles, if you get a chance at Risner or Cody Ford in the first round, you might have to pull the trigger even if you have second round grades or you aren't as high with them, because the drop off is so great at tackle from what I've seen so far in this class. So I think what you see with the Alabama State offensive tackle Titus Howard as a guy that you could potentially see becoming a starter at some point. I just don't think with the Chargers right now that you're getting a good value if you take him on day two. I think with receiver, like you're talking about, that might be the best value in the second round, but I don't know if the Chargers are going to jump on that there. And there's some other receivers that could fit specific roles later on in the draft, but still searching for that second round pick. Who is it going to be? But we do need to get into a guy that a lot of people have as the Chargers' second round pick in the next segment with Ohio State's Draymond Jones. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about one of the more explosive athletes that I've seen on tape so far, and that's Ohio State's defensive tackle, I say with air quotes, Draymond Jones out of Ohio State. And let's first talk about just the fit for the Chargers. On the surface, this is a guy who can rush the passer out of the inside, which is definitely something that the Chargers need. But there are definitely some red flags on this guy as well. First of all, he's not the ideal size that you want out of a defensive tackle. He's 6'3", 288, which I think is a little generous on the 6'3". He's definitely a shorter guy, which isn't always a detriment for a defensive tackle when you're talking about keeping your pads low. But unfortunately, Draymond Jones doesn't keep his pads low very often. John, I'll start with you on this one. What did you see when you looked at Draymond Jones on tape?
I saw a guy that should probably be playing the outside. Playing in the inside, he just didn't look like he had the type of power you need to take on some guards or a center or take on both at the same time. Sometimes he has his moments when he uses his hands the right way or if he gets that quick first step. But most of the time, he's stuck on a one-on-one or he's getting double-teamed. But there was some times where I saw him play on the outside and he beat the tackle so easily. And I'm thinking, why is this guy in the three technique and not on the outside? He has so much more ability on the outside, yet Ohio State has him as a defensive tackle. It doesn't make sense to me. So I personally don't think he's going to be that great of a defensive tackle for the Chargers, but could you groom him into maybe Bosa's next backup or even Ingram's backup? Because Ingram's contract eventually is going to run out and there's no way you're going to pay him even more money, because now he's going to be in the league even longer. So that veteran's minimum is going to be even higher for him. It's going to be tough to keep him because you'd be looking for maybe Ingram's future replacement with this pick while having him play defensive tackle in the meantime. It's really rough for me, but I don't think he's a true NFL defensive tackle.
When you're talking about a guy who needs to hit the weight room, I think Draymond Jones definitely fits that bill. I mean, he's a guy that could absolutely stand to gain maybe 20 pounds if he is truly going to be a defensive tackle. I mean, I think you throw him out completely as far as a one technique. He doesn't have that kind of versatility. Is he someone that could play a 3 and a 5 technique and kick outside? Absolutely. And he'd probably be better on the outside right now than even Isaac Rochelle is, you know, coming into his third season in the NFL. So I think he has, you know, some potential to play on the outside, but the outside isn't as big of a need. And one of the Chargers' biggest issues is getting out physical in the trenches, David. And I think that's one of the problems with picking Draymond Jones, especially as a second round pick, is that it doesn't help you where you really need help as far as stopping guys at the line of scrimmage and winning at the point of attack.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I saw from Draymond Jones, just one thing just kept ringing in my head throughout the entire time of watching his tape. And it's just simply, he's just too small. He's way too small at that position. You know, a lot of the times when he was inside, if he wasn't, you know, getting off the line with that great swim move and getting in between the offensive linemen, he was getting washed out. He just needs to put on, like you said, maybe a good 15, 20 pounds. He needs to add strength. He provided some versatility playing inside and outside. He's not great in the run game, which, you know, if you're a Charger fan, you know that's something that the Chargers need help with. And, in the second round, definitely not comfortable taking him that early. Honestly, I think maybe more around third round or fourth round. He kind of reminded me of Damian Square.
Well, that's definitely not very high praise as far as Damian Square goes. But I think that he's a guy that you could see him potentially gaining weight and becoming more stout in the middle. I think when he did show promise in the running game specifically, it was when he was able to beat his linemen off the snap on one-on-one plays. I mean, just using swim moves to get past. He has a good spin move when he does get caught up in the line that I think would help him at the next level when he doesn't win that initial battle with his hands. But I think his lower body strength is something that's a legitimate concern. And it's hard to say that this guy could just, you know, over one off season, just become a giant player on the inside that's going to be able to stand up to double teams at the point of attack, because he cannot anchor your run defense in the middle. He does get washed out very easily on double teams. And David, like we talked about before the show, it doesn't even take a double team all the time to really wash him out. He plays too high, even though he's a shorter guy, which is a big issue. And John, it just seems to me that there's a lot of work to be done with this guy if you want to keep him on the inside and not the outside.
It's basically the same thing as Titus Howard, but on the other side of the ball. It's more of, can you get him bigger and can you get him more hand work? And if you can do that, then you have a star. If you can't do that, then you're basically going to have a few years of creating some guy that's going to be somewhat productive until his contract runs out. And then you decide whether he's improved enough to keep him for a low contract, or do you let him go and draft somebody else? They're both projects, but I don't think they're both as much of projects as some of these guys that we've talked about. There's been guys we've talked about that you could say this guy's going to take 3 years, 4 years to become a starter or even a rotational player. These two guys, maybe this year or next year, they become that starting role, or they get significant playing time to become a starter the following year. It's really rough to figure out if you want to get these guys, because as we've said before in this podcast, we're in win now mode, but these guys could start halfway through the year, which could be that change in the motion that you need in case you're starting off kind of weak in the year because you have the same offensive line from last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that really is right now the best case scenario in year one for a guy like Draymond Jones, who doesn't give you a lot as far as stopping the run. And I think he could excel in that. If you get him on the field in second and longs and third and longs, I think he's a guy that you can absolutely use to get pressure on the interior. But the problem with his pressure is it's not exactly a pocket push. He's not driving guys off of the line of scrimmage into the quarterback's lap, which you might be able to see from someone who defends the run a little bit better. I think you can get a guy right here in Draymond Jones that can be a situational pass rusher, but what is that worth? I mean, we're talking about second, third, fourth, fifth, even sixth round picks for right now for the Chargers. And the important thing to remember is all of these guys are going to have flaws. You're not going to find a perfect player right now. So you have to be able to find guys with some skills that you like and the ability to evolve into something better. And I don't know if Draymond Jones has that ability, and I don't know what the Chargers see of him or how highly they have him graded. I just don't know if you'll be able to get value with Draymond Jones, because I just think that someone is going to take him at a spot that's a little too rich for me, maybe in the middle of the second round, maybe early in the third round. I think you could make an argument for him with the third round pick as a guy who can come in and be an impact player on second and third downs. But if you want a defensive lineman that's going to be a three down defensive lineman right away, I do not think that you can envision Draymond Jones being that type of player early on in his career without really adding that strength and really becoming a player that we didn't see often in college, especially in the running game. But there is a guy that's a lot less depressing to talk about, and I promise we are going to get into him and tell you about a guy that we would actually be okay with the Chargers drafting. I know it's been a long time since we got out of the first round picks. It's been pretty dark and gloomy, but I think Iowa safety Amani Hooker could be the guy to really get us going coming up right after this. All right, guys, now it's time to, you know, let those bad players of the past get out of our heads for a little bit and talk about a guy that was really fun to watch. And that's another Iowa defensive back. Stop me if you've heard this before. Iowa defensive backs, pretty good. And that is Amani Hooker, the safety, number 27 out of Iowa, who was the defensive back of the year in the Big Ten, which I think says a lot because of the guys that you see go out of the Big Ten into the league. And now we get to talk about Amani Hooker, who's a guy who's pretty compact. I've seen some places say he's 6 foot, other places say he's 5'11", but he fills it out well. He's 210 pounds, if you believe what you see on the NFL.com profile. And he actually looks like he could be. And what we're talking about here is a guy with a great football IQ, which really gets you excited. A guy that definitely puts in the work ahead of time as far as watching film and knowing what's coming and being able to kind of see what's happening before it happens. And I think that makes up for some of the lack of explosiveness that you see with a guy like Amani Hooker. But, David, I mean, especially when he was up near the line of scrimmage, especially as far as physicality goes and being able to read plays and kind of snap on the ball with ball skills, there's not a lot of guys that have excited to be more in the middle rounds than Amani Hooker.
Yeah, no doubt. I actually really enjoyed watching his tape. That's my first note, was fun to watch. So after that, I saw some really good ball skills. I saw him pick off a couple balls and look just real natural in the open field. A willing tackler, has good coverage skills, both up close to the line and back off as a safety. Some of the things I didn't particularly like, he needs to shed blocks a lot better. An offensive blocker gets in front of him and locks in, he can't go anywhere. He can't shed that block. One of the things that you mentioned is that his hips are a little too stiff, so he needs to work on that in the next level. But he covers his zones well. He jumps routes. He was fun to watch, man. I enjoyed him. I had definitely envisioned watching him next to Derwin James, a guy who can play both positions at safety. If this guy's here, in the middle rounds, then I'm definitely excited to pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I do want to say that this wouldn't be a great fit for every team. I think there's some definite downfalls in his game that could be exposed if you were to kind of put him in a position where he has to cover a ton of ground, or if he has to be up near the line of scrimmage and be the last line of defense as far as man-to-man coverage and having somebody go deep on him. One of the biggest detractions I had from him was just a little bit of hip stiffness. A lot of times I saw players get past him a little too easily off the line of scrimmage, and it just seemed like he was turning his hips about 1 second too late. But unfortunately, in the NFL, 1 second is an eternity, and it's a 1 second you can't really forgive, with the athletes that you see on Sundays. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, and I also see why some people are a little hesitant to pull the trigger on him because – as far as just on the surface, it's a guy that every team would want. It's so cliche to say, but he's the kind of guy that puts in the work. He's willing to throw his helmet in there on any tackle. Anytime you see a DB just with the willingness to tackle and the ability to kind of put his foot in the ground and read something quickly and explode into the scene, I think he has that. But, John, I think as far as do you want him to play single high safety? Probably not. I don't know if he has that kind of range, but he did test really well at the combine. He had the 4.48 in the 40, which kind of shows you what his top end speed could be, even if he didn't always show it on tape. So I think that in a lot of ways, it would be the best to have him up near the line of scrimmage because of what you've been able to see as far as getting leverage on receivers and forcing runs back inside when it calls for it, and also being able to take down guys in the open space as far as tackling goes. But at the same time, when you have a guy like Derwin James, who you can kind of intermatch him with and have both guys play different positions and still be able to use Amani Hooker near the line of scrimmage, even though we were drafting him as a free safety with Derwin James back there, there's a lot to like as far as his fit with the Chargers.
I actually agree with the fact that Derwin James and Amani Hooker can both play both safety positions. You can switch them up as much as you like, and that's one thing I really like about Hooker when I was watching him. And I agree, but if you want to leave him as that one safety, that single high safety, I agree. His range is not that great. He might have a good 40 time, but that doesn't mean he has the acceleration to plant and go really fast. That just means when he reaches that high end speed, he can probably catch up to somebody, or he can create a pursuit angle to make a tackle. That doesn't mean he's going to cover both sides of the field really well from the middle of the field. So But that being said, one of the things that bothered me a little bit with him was he does bite on play actions or the play fake. He does bite on that a little bit, so he is really hesitant. That's something you could fix. That's something that that could be a discipline type of situation. And I think Gus Bradley would be able to fix that pretty well. He tackles really well, and he's so good at knowing where the play is going to go and knowing to do his job and not fall for something else where you see some safeties would fight on a double move or something, and they go, oh, I got to follow this guy and leave my guy open. He always went straight to his guy and shut down that play, and somebody else is going to have to make a play somewhere else on the field because he's already on his guy.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with what you're saying, especially as far as, you know, being able to identify route concepts and know what's coming. I mean, he baits quarterbacks a lot, even if sometimes he's not explosive enough to actually make a play on the ball. You see he knows exactly what's going on. Yeah, his range is a little bit underwhelming at times, but that's the thing, guys, is we're talking specific fit to the Chargers. And I think with this guy, one of the things that's going to really help him, especially as far as biting on play fakes, is going to be, hey, you're the deep third, you're the deep middle, that's what your assignment is. I think that's really going to help him a lot. One of the things that, and that's the thing, is simplifying it. He's going to get a simplified defense. It's not a defense that's necessarily very hard to understand. You have the deep middle. Everything that I've seen from him as far as what he's able to do as far with processing what's happening in front of him and being able to understand that not every guy that comes in front of you in your zone you have to chase, I think he would actually excel in the deep third. And I think with him and Derwin James, I think you would be able to play to both of their strengths, unlike you had with a Jahlil Adai, who is constantly missing tackles, constantly taking bad angles. Yes, we've seen some bad angles with Amani Hooker, but he was getting a lot closer than Jahlil Adai was a lot of the time. But, John, I think we actually found a player, I mean, in the third round that we would be happy if the Chargers took.
I actually have him in my mock draft, and I would love to have him. The only other safety I've looked at so far that is interest me is Darnell Savage, who would be a second-round guy, but I don't know if you would exactly have an opportunity to get him because he's predicted to go early second round. But if you get a chance to get Amani Hooker, you have to get this guy and fill that safety spot with a pick that's not a first or second round pick. You might not get Nazir Adderley's athleticism, but you'll get a guy with a great IQ that can tackle.
Yeah, and especially with what people saw from Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I see a lot of similarities as far as them playing close to the line of scrimmage, lining up in the slot a lot in college. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, hands down, is a much better athlete than Amani Hooker is, but I also think Hooker has a much higher football IQ and can be molded into something and play very assignment-sound football, which is something that Gus Bradley wants. He wants a guy that's going to take care of his assignment, and I think that Amani Hooker showed very well that he understands the game of football and will be in the right place at the right time. I think if you can convert some of that actual speed with game speed, and if you can get him a little bit better as far as turning his hips and playing that deep part of the field, which he didn't have to do a lot of Iowa, I think it would be a home run pick for the Chargers in the third round. And a guy that I would be legitimately upset about if he goes before they're able to pick and they haven't picked another safety already. We will talk about Darnell Savage in the next show from Maryland. He's one of the guys that's on the list of guys to talk about. And also, if there is any guys that you guys want us to cover leading up to the draft, absolutely let us know, and we'll try to get that profile on the show for you guys. But I hope you guys are happy we finally found someone that we're good with the Chargers taking. And I think even a guy like Titus Howard, I think we would be okay with, I mean, all of us would be okay if it's later on in the draft, and John would be okay with it even earlier. So there's definitely some more positivity, definitely some promise with the guys we talked about on today's show. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. If you guys haven't already, make sure to check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. If you didn't get to listen to the mock draft episode, a lot of great insight on there. You get to hear the Chiefs experts get super pissed off that we took Jerry Tillery out from under them. So that's always a good time. But on the next show, we'll get into some more draft prospects, definitely day two and day three guys that we would like to see the Chargers take, or guys we would not like to see them take. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. You could also give us your voice on what you think of the guys we've talked about so far by calling the Locked On Chargers voicemail. If you play it, it will get on the show. That is our promise to you, and you can do that by calling 323-524-7924. Make sure you get that call in, and we will get your voice and your thoughts on the show. And to get the latest show at all times, make sure you subscribe to us on Himalaya, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get it usually the night before everyone else gets it on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. Make sure you're with us leading up to the draft and after the draft to get our thoughts on who the Chargers took coming up in the next shows. Take it easy and go Bolts.